for news and politic talk for Christians? You found it right here. It's time for another episode of Christian Polita Talk with Michael and Mary Beth.
And we're back.
Yes.
Took the week off last week to spend some time with the kiddos and Thanksgiving.
Ate some turkey.
Yeah, hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. We're glad to be back on the air. Glad to be back doing what we enjoy doing.
I'm waiting over here to become a zombie.
You're waiting. No, don't spoil the story now. Come on. don't jump ahead.
I didn't. I just, you know, I want to warn listeners that it could happen at any possible moment. I could just zombie out.
All right. Don't be giving away the funny news stories.
Right.
Oh my goodness. You got something to start us off with over there?
Yes.
It's devotion time with Mary Beth.
Tonight's devotional is called The Most Feared Word, Hypocrite. That comes from Luke 13:15. Like the woman with the spirit of infirmity, we too are immediately made straight in Christ. We now walk a straight and narrow path of righteousness. We were instantly forgiven, washed, and justified in the sight of our holy Creator. We no longer entertain the thought of sin because of the cost of our redemption. How could we? While lust, selfishness, greed, and many other sins pull at our flesh, we reckon them all dead in Christ and their power over us diffused. Therefore, the accusation of hypocrite should never be leveled at us as Jesus leveled it at the religious leaders. It is a stinging rebuke we never want to receive from God. Imagine having it aimed at you by the one who bore the agony of sin because you were secretly serving its pleasure. Hypocrisy is to despise Calvary's sacrifice, and such a thought should bring with it instant and terrible shame. While the world may justly accuse us of being narrow-minded and foolish for believing the Bible, may they never be able to justly accuse us of hypocrisy. The soul searches, sin no longer has dominion over me. I will declare I am no longer a slave of sin, and I am free from its bondage. And the prayer, Father, keep me on the straight and narrow.
Amen. So tonight, a little bit later on the show, because I actually want people to think about this all season long, we're going to talk about the season of giving, you know, December the 1st, right?
And we just passed Giving Tuesday.
Just passed Giving Tuesday. You're right. And as Christmas comes, we think maybe it's not impossible. Maybe we really could have hearts filled with love. Maybe we really could be kind to each other. And not just once a year, but all year long. And this is a message that I feel the entire family should hear. Children may have a different view of the season and what it all really means after hearing this. And I pray that those people who really need to hear this message tonight are drawn to it, to change their lives with the gifts that were gave to us all that night in Bethlehem. So does that kind of strike you as interesting?
Yes.
Very much so. So since you're so ready to dive into some news tonight.
No, I'm just waiting to become a zombie.
Politics. Current events. It's what's going on in the world. It's time for the news.
So I've got even an almost better story for you than that one.
Uh-huh.
Are you putting on some different headphones there tonight?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
But I can hear you.
You couldn't hear me?
Well, it was my headset's kind of going in and out.
Oh, okay. So break out the charcuterie board for this one, people.
Oh, goodness. All right.
We're going to need a lot of cheese for this wine, okay? I mean, really. So we're talking about Gen Z parents now refusing to teach their kids about Santa Claus because they claim it's traumatizing.
Okay. Okay, yeah, all right.
And this is a sign of how messed up society's becoming on this. I mean, parents are refusing to allow their children to believe in Santa Claus because they will be traumatized when they find out the truth about it.
I was not traumatized.
Why can't we just let children have that, you know, teach them what it's really about, but let them have those nice, happy feelings of joy and, you know, the magic of Christmas.
Absolutely. Time, that, you know, does not hurt anyone.
Well, there's a hashtag.
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
Santa Isn't Real has been trending with tens of millions of views on TikTok as Gen Z thinks they are better than everyone else and wants to screw up Christmas of all things.
You know,
Never fear.
No, when I was a kid, my mama always told me that as long as you believed in Santa, there'd be gifts that came from Santa. And, you know, even when I got old enough where my parents knew kind of where I was at with that, even as old as 21, I was getting presents under the tree from Santa, and I loved it. I mean, it wasn't that, you know, I had that suspension of disbelief anymore, but, you know, it was just sort of nice. It was nice to see something.
Yep. Well, you know, there was one mother who even commented on this. Mm-hmm. She said, I don't want to scare my children into thinking they have to behave a certain way or, you know, that they were more naughty or nice than another child based on Christmas gifts.
Well, you know,
let's just give everybody a participation award here.
Yeah, not only that, but come on. You know, I mean, there's such a lack of discipline, you know, just in the world today with younger children. I see it. You know, parents don't want to punish their children. They don't want to cause them any sort of scarring. You know, my parents beat my behind when I did things that were wrong and that they wanted to make sure I did not do again.
Yep.
And so, and it certainly wasn't a threat about Santa.
Well, once again, we've been skipped, honey.
Oh.
It says, you know, our generation was skipped in a comment because they said Santa Claus has been around for centuries and I think people have done just fine. We've survived. And I don't see an overwhelming majority of baby boomers or millennials in therapy based simply because they found out Santa was real when they were 9 years old.
We don't exist. So Gen Xers do not exist.
From baby boomers to millennials. I mean, there's no Gen X.
No.
The forgotten generation.
The lost generation. We're just out in the desert wandering around somewhere.
Yeah. So, you know, moving on to other news that'll make you go, wow, that story disappeared.
Uh-oh.
But we'll talk about it. They claimed that there are a group of scientists.
Oh, yeah.
Who have found a 48,500-year-old virus in permafrost in Siberia that can cause zombies.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. The Yeti is going to transfer it to, like, the Easter Bunny, Santa, the Loch Ness Monster. So that's going to be our next pandemic.
Yeah. So there's the funny part of the news tonight before we dig into some things that, unfortunately, are a little more real.
Right. So if, you know, just saying, if we zombie out, y'all know what happened.
Yeah. Wow. You know, talk about some of the news here lately. Oh, my goodness. Some of the things that have happened over the last couple of weeks while, you know, we went off the air last week and just some of the things that have been going on.
Yeah, you know, and the good times are still rolling with Biden and co.
Yeah, and then, you know, the Idaho victims, all that still going on. And, and the story out of the Walmart.
That was horrible too.
Yeah. You know, more things are coming about with the Bitcoin, with that gentleman is being called to answer some questions.
Oh yeah. I'm sure he's ready to pony up that info.
Yeah. Quite sure that he's just ready and raring to deal with that.
Yeah. You know, stepping back to the Walmart thing, I actually read something either yesterday or today that was talking about that incident and saying that the store where all of that happened is still closed and they are taking care of their employees. They're still continuing to pay them even though they're not working, just so they can feel safe. And, I mean, I think that's great.
Yep. I mean, it's horrible. And then all the while, things just keep kind of taking little dips and turns. I mean, people were talking about there was a little dip in the gas prices a little bit. And then Biden strikes a deal with Venezuela for allowing Chevron Group to drill there again. And thinking that's going to be the saving grace for all the rocketing fuel prices and fuel shortages, but
it still has to be trucked. It still has to be refined.
The equipment over there is so outdated and worn out that it's going to cost $50 million just to get started.
Of course.
So, and
because just opening the pipelines here back up would just be unconscionable.
Well, I mean, you know, it's the thing that it's not going in the short term. It's not going to help anyone.
No.
One single iota.
No.
And it's sad.
Well, you know, even here, I've noticed that, like, just generally speaking, our gas prices, I have seen them at certain stations where it's $3.08 a gallon, and then other places it's like $3.19. And I mean, it's not really like this incredible dip in prices.
No, it's not really. But you know, that's what they want you to think.
Right. And you know, everything else is still going up in price. So it's not like whatever deal they may concoct with, you know, other countries to go drilling, that's not going to really change the prices of anything, not groceries, not anything that has to be trucked or, you know, have trains bring it in. And, you know, it's crazy.
Definitely. You know, and then there are some very real security threats that are going on.
Oh yeah.
You know, across the world, then it has very, you know, really real complications for here.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we talked about this briefly yesterday, you and I, about, the Russians and Chinese, fighter planes that were moving aggressively into South Korea's airspace. And South Korea actually scrambled jets to thwart any possibility of, you know, engagement.
Yep. And this time of year, too, and something that's kind of scary if you think about it, this is the time of year when travel is the highest.
Right.
Especially, you know, air and things like that.
Yeah.
And they're actually deploying air marshals to the southern border as that whole crisis escalates. And they're taking air marshals off the planes and sending them to the border.
Hmm.
At a time of year when travel is at its highest.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people are actually taking vacations with family as opposed to doing gifts this year.
Yeah.
You know, just because of the price of things.
Definitely. And another thing among this border crisis, I mean, call it what it is. You know, there's untold amounts of fentanyl coming into this country.
Oh, no joke.
Across the border right now.
Oh, yeah.
And law enforcement officers are pointing to it funneling across the border as the nation's single deadliest drug threat.
Right.
You know, Chinese criminals are exporting these chemicals into Mexico so Mexican cartels can distribute this stuff as counterfeit pills, as things that look like candy, as we learned over mm-hmm. Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point is to drive addiction and to make a profit. And that's so sad.
Yeah, because rather than getting people addicted to fentanyl, it's just straight out killing people.
It is. It's 100 times stronger than morphine.
And, you know, you had talked about this on a show months ago about, you know, how the drug cartels were actually paying members of our government to allow drugs in, and as opposed to, you know, searching and seizing. And yep. That is something else that I have read recently is still a very popular thing that's being done.
It is. And, you know, the sad part of all this is, you know, it's sold as powder
mm-hmm.
or pill.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, it's 100 times stronger than morphine. It's 50 times more potent than heroin. It's cheaper to mass produce. And the tiniest amount can be lethal.
Absolutely.
And they've estimated that 100,000 plus Americans have died because of fentanyl during the pandemic alone.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it continues to soar and has been found on the black market. Adderall, ecstasy pills, has been found in cocaine. It's, you know, people think they're ingesting another drug, and it's actually fentanyl.
Yeah, and it's been turning up in marijuana, and yep. people are actually smoking it. And, yeah, I mean, am I incorrect by saying that in smoking it, it's easier to cross the blood-brain barrier?
Oh, yeah. And it is, and the DEA says that lab tests have shown that 60% of fentanyl-laced fake pills analyzed in 2022
mm-hmm.
contained a potentially fatal dose.
I'm sure. And, I mean, that was when we were talking about, like, the Skittles, that they've got these fentanyl yep. pills looking like Skittles and Sweet Tarts and everything else. So, I mean, it's not even safe. I mean, they're trying to get babies addicted to this yeah. or kill them off or something.
It, you know, it's just one of these things that just keep continuing to go around and around and around. And going to something that you spoke about a few minutes ago, that North Korea.
Right.
Launching the new missile test.
Uh-huh.
What is that?
Oh, sorry.
Crosshair set on U.S. and South Korean targets.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we've got to, you know, keep, you know, watching out for. So that definitely I didn't just want to skip over that where you brought that up.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, I mean, these are things that we need to continue to watch, and things that are continuing to happen and pop up, and you know, it's not changing a whole lot right now.
No. And I mean, we have got to remain vigilant about things. You know, just because you're getting into the spirit of the holiday doesn't mean that, you know, this craziness in the world is taking a vacation.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there was another interesting story that I ran across.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more than anything, the sideline, the title of this is what really caught my attention. It's titled Anarchy on Autopilot, Millennial Americans Lose Biblical Worldview. And here's why. You know, there's some Christian pollsters. They found that only 4% of American millennials hold a biblical worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And why are so many young American adults abandoning Christian faith? And there was a story that says they were describing what was happening as anarchy on autopilot. He said, you have to realize there's a root cause that makes all of those social media and tech problems being problems. And so otherwise, they wouldn't be behaving all the same way if they didn't have a root cause that was similar. And so it's a very interesting article that's on CBN News. I'm going to try to get this one put up on the website. I know I've been a little lax in getting some of those things put out lately, but this one I think would be a really good article to get out there on that. So you ready to start learning a little bit now?
Sure.
All right, here we go.
It's time to learn. It's time for the message.
We're going to set the stage. Kind of rolling into this season of giving.
Charlie Brown.
That's right. And there's a reason why I'm using this to start with, because it's Christmas time and Lucy comes in where Charlie Brown is standing and says, Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown. 'Tis the season of peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Therefore, I suggest we forget all our differences and love one another. And as we remember, Charlie Brown, you know, his face kind of lights up and he says, that's wonderful, Lucy. I'm so glad you said that. But tell me, do we have to really love each other only this season? Why can't we love each other all year long? And Lucy says, what are you, a fanatic or something? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So think about it. If we really get serious about Christmas, it seems that we're branded by the world as some kind of fanatic. Yet Christmas is supposed to be a time of peace on earth and goodwill towards men. So I want you to listen as I read some very familiar words from the Bible. From Luke 2, 8 through 14, it says, now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now, and this will be a sign to you, and you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly, there with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill towards men. So think about it. How wonderful our homes could be, how wonderful our lives could be, and how wonderful our world could be if we really did put into practice the blessing of peace on earth and goodwill towards men. So, and as Christmas comes, we all think once again, maybe it's not impossible. Maybe we really could have hearts filled with love, and maybe we could be kind to each other, and not just once a year, but all year long. So, I'm sure that some of you are already well into your Christmas shopping. There may be a few procrastinators who wait until the last minute, but most of us spend the time and thought in choosing the right gift for that special person in our life. And we think about their needs and wants and what might make them happy. Then we go shopping and we make that purchase, and we often spend more money than we planned. We gift wrap it, and we anxiously await the moment when that loved one will open our special gift. And when he or she opens that present, we eagerly anticipate expressions of joy and delight. But if there were no expressions of joy and delight, we'll be disappointed. Because in receiving the gift, they're receiving us. Or if they reject it, they're rejecting us. At least that's the way we feel deep down inside. And even while we're watching the faces of others to see how they receive our gifts, others will be watching us to see how we receive their gifts. You see, giving and receiving is an important part of the Christmas season. But what was God's gift to all of us at Christmas time? I'm sure that most of you would say he gave his only begotten son. And of course, you're right. And others might say he gave us proof of his love. And of course, that would be right too. But I want to be a bit more precise than that. For in actuality, God gave us several very valuable gifts. And we're going to talk about those gifts. And the first gift he gave us was the opportunity for forgiveness of our sins. He gave us the opportunity for the forgiveness of our sins through Jesus Christ. God offers us forgiveness of our sins. You see, we'll never have peace with our fellow man until first we're at peace with ourselves. And we'll never be at peace with ourselves until we're at peace with God. And we'll never be at peace with God until our sins have been forgiven. I read something unusual a few years ago, and it was a story from the eastern part of the U.S., and it was about a cookbook. You may remember this story. A cookbook was actually recalled, and I've never heard of a cookbook being recalled before. I've heard of automobiles being recalled, toasters and baby seats, but I'd never heard of a cookbook being recalled. Now, this particular cookbook was being recalled because one recipe had left out an important ingredient. And the publishers of this book realized that if someone followed the directions of that recipe and left out this ingredient, that the ingredients they put together could actually blow up in their face. So because of that hazard, the cookbook was recalled. Now, after remembering that, I thought to myself, that's a pretty good topic idea. And to put it in a context like this, you see, God has given us the recipe for life. He says, you want peace in your life? Then here's the recipe. Find forgiveness through Jesus Christ and live according to my rules and my principles, the ingredients that make it all possible. But if you leave out some of his ingredients or stick in some of the ingredients of the world, then life can blow up in your face. Maybe that's why there's so much depression and so much suicide and so much rejection, because too many are following the wrong recipe for life. So God says, here's my gift. It's not just the gift of a baby, but it's the offer of forgiveness and salvation. So the second thing we were given is help in our present situation. So that is the second thing that God offers, help. I think of the shepherds sitting out on the hillside watching sheep all night long. They were poor with not much prospect for improving their lives. Life was hard and harsh for them without much hope of it ever getting any better. And then one night, angels appeared and made this wonderful announcement. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Suddenly everything was changed. God had become real to them. God had come to help them to be their Savior and to bring peace on earth and goodwill to men. And at the other end of the social spectrum were the wise men. Magi, people with power and authority and wealth. Yet there was an emptiness in their lives as well. So when they saw the star, they came because they needed something too. So whether we're rich or poor, powerful or weak, whether we are, you know, we need, wherever we are, we need help. And God has promised that when Christ's child enters our hearts and our lives, then we'll receive his help. And we're ready, we're helped by the Holy Spirit of God. Then we develop more sympathetic feelings towards one another too. You know, there was a businessman wearing a suit and tie. He was on his way to his office, and it happened to be during Christmas week. And he stopped to get some gas, and as he unscrewed the gas cap, he dropped it, and it rolled under the car right into a puddle of dirty water. He bent down and looked at it and wondered what to do, and finally he decided he would fill his gas tank and move the car forward and pick up the gas cap. But just then, a man in construction clothes saw that dilemma. He got down on his knees, reached underneath the car, got the gas cap, handed it to him. The man stood there amazed and then thanked him. The man responded with a smile, a Merry Christmas, and then went on his way. You see, at Christmas time, we seem to, to be more sensitive to each other. So we go around picking up gas caps or reaching into our wallets and purses to help someone or delivering food to someone who is hungry, because Christmas reminds us that God has reached down to help us. And now we want to help each other. But maybe there is more good in us than we actually realized. Maybe we spend too much time beating ourselves up and telling ourselves how bad we are. Think about what's been going on recently. The country has been shocked over the last few weeks. Shootings, slayings, on and off college campuses, even at businesses, you know, with the recent Walmart shootings. These terrible events have been reported in TV news and in social media, but the news reporters never get around to telling the stories of compassion that can arise from such events as these. You know, moved by love and compassion, maybe some of the loved ones gave permission for doctors to remove vital organs from their family members to use them to help save the lives of others who desperately needed those organs. And as sad as these occurrences are, there are still points of compassion that are never reported. So if we are moved by the news of their sorrow and their joy of this compassion, how much more moved should we be to realize that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords came to our world to cry with us, to rejoice with us, and to help us over the hurt and bumps of life itself? So people, listen up. When you realize that right there, then peace on earth and goodwill towards men becomes easier and more realistic. So the third thing we need to talk about is hope for the future. One final thing that God gave us at Christmas time when he gave us Jesus is hope for the future. You know what kept the shepherds going? It was hope. God had made a promise to their people that he would one day send a Messiah, the anointed one. And when the Messiah came, everything would be all right again. And that hope burned in the hearts and the lives of the people of Israel. You know what kept the wise men going? It was hope. Every night they would go out and search the heavens looking for a star of promise. And then they knew when they saw it, they must follow it wherever it led them, because it was a sign from God and it proclaimed the birth of a king. So hope kept them going. And did you know that God gives us hope at Christmas too? Maybe it seems an impossible dream, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Maybe there will always be wars and rumors of war. Maybe the poor will always be hungry. And maybe we'll always have to deal with the terror and crime and violence we see every day. But there is one thing that keeps us going, and it's hope. One day heaven is going to open and God will come back and the dreams of peace and goodwill for all will be fulfilled. I want to share with you a little story I remember as a kid. Some of you may have heard it, and it was one of my favorite little stories to hear about at Christmas time. It was about a boy in about the seventh grade, and his name was William Sperling. And William Sperling, he was a big kid for his age, and he was probably a little slow mentally. But he was a good kid, and all the kids liked him, and in fact, they wanted him for a friend because he was big enough to take their part if they needed him. So when it came time for the Christmas program to be presented, William Sperling wanted to be a shepherd. And the teacher decided that he would make a better innkeeper than a shepherd since he was so big. So she gave him the task of being a rough, mean innkeeper. And in the Christmas program, when Mary and Joseph came to the inn and knocked on the door, William Sperling opened it. And when they asked for a place to stay, he said harshly, "There's no place for you to stay. There's no room in the inn." And Joseph said, "But my wife is tired and she's expecting a baby. Isn't there just a small room where we could rest?" And once again, William Sperling said with roughness in his voice, "You'll have to find a room somewhere else. There's no room in the inn." Well, once more, Joseph pleaded for some place for them to stay tonight. Then there was a long pause. It was one of those pauses that was as embarrassing for the audience as it was for the cast. William had forgotten his next line, and back behind all the props, you could hear a prompter saying, "No, be gone, no, be gone," and that was William's next line. And finally, in almost a whisper, he said, "No, be gone." Mary and Joseph sadly turned to leave, but as they did, William suddenly regained his voice and said, "Wait a minute. You can stay in my room and I'll sleep in the shed." Now, in the stunned silence that followed this, the teacher thought that the play was ruined until she thought again about the words of a little seventh grade boy who may have been communicating the real truth of Christmas better than anyone else. "No, you can stay in my room, and I'll sleep in the shed." Isn't that what Jesus did? "No, you don't have to die for your sins. I'll take your place on the cross. No, you can enter the heavenly home. I'm preparing a place for you there." Christmas made the difference. God wrapped up a gift and gave it to us. Now he stands back and waits to see what we will do. Will we receive it with joy, or will we treat it with indifference and rejection? God waits to see, because what we do with the gift is also what we do with him. If we accept a gift, then we receive him, his forgiveness, his help, and his hope. But if we reject it, we also reject him. God continually offers that gift to us, and he offers that gift again right now. And he waits to see what we all will do, and that I'll pray that you will receive him with open arms of love as we do like we do every week and extend his invitation. You know, we talk all the time about people admitting that they're a sinner and being willing to turn from their sin and repenting and believing that Jesus died for them and he was buried and rose again to pay the price for that sin. Now you need to pray and invite Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. And you can just say a simple prayer out loud just like this. "Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again from my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming to my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to send me in the blood of Jesus and to help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen." that right there gets you to the prize. That is what Christmas is all about. In a nutshell, anything about that stand out to you?
Oh, everything. I mean, it is truly what Christmas is about. Or it should be.
It is.
Let me rephrase that.
And, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you say that prayer, get yourself a Bible, start reading. Start learning about that journey. Start learning about more about that night. And we all know that, Christmas time is celebrated, in December, and that's when we celebrate it. But, the Bible depicts times that it was probably closer actually to spring than it was in the winter. But this is the day that we come together and we celebrate that birth.
Or like Little Christmas.
Little Christmas. There you go. I mean, they're all different times all over the world. But it's about that belief and realizing what happened ultimately the day that Jesus was born. For unto this day a Savior is born. No truer words ever spoken. And, somebody tonight somewhere needed to hear that story. Anything about that jump out at you more than any other?
Yeah.
Like, what part? Oh, I'm putting her on the spot.
I don't know.
Well, I know that you usually have to sit back and think on things a little bit.
I do. I have to digest.
And then the questions just come out in the middle of the night.
Yeah. That you know how I am.
So.
I always find questions at like inopportune moments. I'm like, wake up.
But, I wanted to do this at the beginning of this season rather than waiting till later, because I wanted to give people time to digest, to really think about it, regurgitate on it,
Oh, that sounds terrible.
Go in prayerful thought, Oh, you don't like the word regurgitate?
No. Just, the connotations. Mm-mm.
But, that is ultimately the goal here, is for people to start putting this to I don't know, some practical thoughts and practical uses into their life.
Well, there really isn't any reason to not be kind to one another, be loving towards one another all year. But it seems like it's kind of like a New Year's resolution almost. It's like we say to ourselves around Christmas time, oh, I want to be, more involved in my community. I want to do more for people. I want to, be part of groups that help people or for something I really stand for and that kind of thing. And then somewhere around March, it's like, yeah, no.
Yeah, but the thing that people tend to forget, the same idea and the same thought process that they have in December, they can have in January, February, March, April. I mean, it's 12 months in a year. December is not just the giving month.
No, exactly.
But it's
just a mindset.
It is, and it's developing that to say, hey, I see these people in need. I can help them today. I don't have to wait till December.
Right, and I think it's just for most people, or, the average person, that it really does kind of boil down to, oh, well, this is the month that we focus on all of that because we understand the reason for the season and we want to do this, but somehow the resolve kind of gives out. And, we really need to remember that, we're not guaranteed a tomorrow.
Nope.
You know, we know we're not guaranteed another Christmas. And, you know, how do you want to be remembered when you are no longer here? You know, were you that good, caring soul 365 days a year, or were you just kind of like the going to church at Easter and Christmas kind of person?
Yep. Well, I promise you, over the next few weeks leading up to Christmas, on these next several weeks of shows, I'm going to give different points of Christmas from a biblical point of view every week. And that's kind of going to be our topics leading us on up, you know, as we finish out this year. And, you know, keep driving those thoughts and keep thinking prayerfully on those thoughts, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So you got any thoughts over there tonight, last minute thoughts?
Oh, goodness.
Well, I know your head's full of thoughts. Something relevant?
No.
Well, as always, we really appreciate you joining us this week. You know, we missed doing it last week, but we need to take a little break, take a little time with the family over these next few weeks. Like I say, we're going to talk more about different stories of this time of year from the Bible. You never know what you might learn. But we appreciate you joining us. Don't forget to check out ChristianPolitiTalk.com. I'm going to try to update the stories on there. I'm going to leave you with a commercial here at the end of the show that's going to, you know, tell you how to reach out to us. Do that if you got topics for, you know, a show idea.
Yeah, y'all need to really quit letting me pick the topics. I get all kind of random about it.
I did this one all on my own. I didn't even ask you this week. So, but we really appreciate you joining us. And we'll be right here again next week. Everybody have a safe week.
Want to reach out to us? Here's how. Contact us at ChristianPolitiTalk@gmail.com. Also, don't forget our website, ChristianPolitiTalk.com. We appreciate you joining us and hope you have a blessed week.
Sometimes we feel so lost, we think we'll never be found. Sometimes we build our plans, but then they fall to the ground. You might not know it, but somebody's been praying for this very moment. Feels like a whisper, but in heaven it's loud. Oh, don't give up on the ones you love. Oh, just a little faith is enough. Help me to remember.
Produced by Sound Image Productions.